You say today, well, like Timothy, I have a good profession because I know Christ. What if the profession of your heart? Is it a profession that is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the cross of Calvary and upon the one who shed his blood and died upon the cross? Are you saved today? Are you believing in the Savior? Do you know your sins forgiven? Can you say, yes, I can have a good profession because that profession is built upon Christ? It's not built upon the sand of this world. It's not built upon my own ideas or a false religion. It is founded upon the Lamb of God who died, who gave himself for me, who rose again.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Timothy chapter 6, and we'll commence our reading at verse number 12. And the Word of God says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he will show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word this evening, or this morning. Have we not often heard those words? It is not how you start that is important, but how you finish. This can apply to a politician's career. It can apply to our lives. It can apply in the world of sport. It can certainly apply in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not how you start that is important, but it is how you finish. And Timothy had the certain hope of eternal life because of the gospel of Christ being applied to his heart. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was his Savior, and he made a confession of that which he had experienced. He had the hope of eternal life because he was called to receive it by the Spirit of God. He was effectually called into the kingdom of God. God's call, it was that summons, it was irresistible, and it has a saving influence upon the Lord's people. It is the work of God's Spirit convicting us and convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and in renewing our wills, we are persuaded and enabled to embrace Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Timothy knew the Savior, and the Apostle Paul had no doubt that young Timothy knew Christ and lived for Christ. And we see that in verse 12, because the Apostle says, fight the good fight of faith, and he then says at the end of that verse, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you have professed a good profession. Your faith is real. Your life professes your faith in Christ. Your baptism professed your faith in Christ. Your ministry itself, and that time of ordination, which some believe Paul is also referring to here, at the ordination of Timothy, his faith was professed, that he was of Christ, that faith was accepted by the presbytery as they laid hands upon Timothy. He made a good confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moving on from verse 12, the apostle gives Timothy a charge in verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was a solemn charge in the sight of God. God who gives life to all things. God who is upon the throne. God who called Timothy. Through his gospel saved Timothy. Paul might be the one encouraging Timothy. Paul might be the leader, the apostle within the church. But the God of heaven was the one who was Timothy's commanding officer, as we say. The one who delivered him, the one who is in control. And Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, that thou keep this commandment. What is meant by that word commandment in verse 14? It seems to not have any words here that limit the understanding of this commandment. Is Paul referring to Timothy not having a love of money, following after righteousness, godliness, faith? I think most certainly that is true. But in considering this, I believe that this commandment is something that embraces the whole truth of God. Timothy is to hold fast to the whole truth of God. He's to hold fast to the gospel of Christ. He is to have a true and good confession of faith. He is not to move from true and sound doctrine. Those truths of God's word are to be preached as his doctrines of faith. He's to hold fast to those doctrines, all of those doctrines. He's to preach this with faith and conviction. He's to set forth the holy and pure God of heaven. Does he have a reverence for the fear of God and his worship? Is his confession supported and evidenced by his life and by his ministry? And Paul is telling Timothy about the importance and the seriousness of keeping the commandments of God and having a good confession or a good profession of faith. This is a charge, a solemn charge. We should take such charges seriously. As the people of God, we are charged to live for Christ. We are charged to keep his commandments. We are charged to hold high the person and the work of our Savior. We place a great importance upon the ordination vows of a minister. Those questions, those vows are important. And if you can remember back 18 months since the ordination service here, there were questions that were asked. Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice? What was the answer? I do. There were distinctive positions of our denomination regarding the centrality and all sufficiency of the person and work of Christ in preaching the gospel, separation from apostasy, the personal separation of believers from the world. There are many other things that were said that sum up the doctrine of Scripture and the doctrines in which we believe. And those questions were important, and they were answered. The ordination took place. What would have happened if I said, I don't? It might have been the first in our denomination to hear a I don't in the middle of a service such as that. And maybe the reaction or what we should do has not crossed anybody's mind. What happens if somebody says, I don't? I think at that point you know the answer is going to be affirmative. What happens now if I were to turn around and say, well, the Scriptures are not the verbally inspired Word of God. They're not our only infallible rule of faith and practice. And this morning that was denied. Well, there's been a departure from the truth, a departure from the faith. That charge, those vows that were made in the sight of God have been ripped up. And part of the issue going forward is the ordination vows have been set aside. That is an issue that must be dealt with. Why? Because these things are serious. When God charges us, when we make vows in serving Him, it is a serious thing. It's a public confession of faith. I was publicly confessing to you the positions regarding the truth of God that are dear to my heart. And that is vital and that is important. Dear believer, you may believe the same things. You've never stood up and confessed these things publicly in an ordination service, but you may believe the same thing and hold to the same truth and desire in your life to have a good confession. And I want us to think today then upon the importance of a good confession, taking the Word of God seriously, taking our vows seriously, taking what we believe seriously. And that is important not merely for Timothy, or for the pastor, but for every single one of us. And so we're going to consider a good confession. A good confession. And firstly, I want you to see that it is a public confession. A public confession. Moving back to verse 12, we have that phrase at the end, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul is saying to Timothy, the profession of your faith is something that was public before many witnesses. Some would say that this was his baptism. Some might say it was his ministry. Some might say it was his ordination. Whatever the case is, he professed a good profession publicly in the view of many witnesses who could turn round and say, Timothy promised to hold to this. Timothy promised to keep Christ central in his ministry. Timothy promised to preach the gospel. Timothy promised to uphold the commandments of God. Timothy promised to live righteously and in a godly way before many witnesses. And our Christian lives are lived before many witnesses, those in society, those in the church, our families. Oh, dear believer, that you and I would be good witnesses for the Savior, that we would be epistles known and read of all men. I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 4. As we think of making a good confession of faith, a good profession before many witnesses, what do we need? Well, we need Christ, first of all. Verse 13 of Acts 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And this is the crucial sentence here. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Through their ministry, through their stand, through their profession, through even their boldness, and boldness here not being the boldness of a child. We would speak of a child being cheeky. It's not that kind of a boldness. It is a confidence. Peter and John had confidence in Christ and confidence in the message of the gospel. They knew standing before the Jewish leaders there that their message was true, that their confession of faith was real, that the Christ that they preached is truly the Christ who could deliver from sin. They had that confidence and that boldness, and they took knowledge that they had been with Christ. Such was their confession. Dear believer, could that be said of you, that as you confess your faith and profess it and live it day by day, that others can turn round and say about you, they've been with Jesus. They have a good profession of faith. I can see in their life they're a Christian, that they know Christ, that they live for Christ. By their words, by their language, by their actions, by their work ethic, whatever it is, they see that you've been with Christ. Oh, that should be your desire, dear believer, to have a good confession. What is the opposite of that? It's having a bad confession of faith. It's known for lying, known for deceit, known for breaking the commandments of God. No one is one who's engaged in business, but yet there's no standard of morality in how you conduct yourself. The only standard of morality is how much money you can make. It doesn't matter about anybody else. Trample over them. It's all about you. And then you're found out to be a Christian. They drive up 188 Street and they say, "See that person? I do business with that person who's trampled over me or swindled me." They're a Christian and that's the church they go to. Wonder what they teach. Certainly not living like Christ, living a good confession. Oh, it is so important for us to have that good profession of faith in every aspect of society. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, but they had boldness. If we move on down that chapter to the prayer they made from verse 23 down to verse 31, they prayed for boldness. They prayed that God would be with them. They prayed that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 29, they prayed for boldness. And this is perhaps something many in the church of Christ have lost today. A holy boldness in living for Christ. In not being ashamed of Christ. Oh believer, are you ashamed of Christ today? Are you ashamed to have a good profession of faith before many witnesses? You're worried about what they'll say behind your back. You're worried about their perception of you. Maybe you're concerned about your advancement in the workplace or your advancement in society, because as soon as someone hears that you make a good profession of Christ, there's that roadblock put up and your career comes to a standstill. Oh, it's easier to keep Christ quiet and to fit in with the crowd. But as believers, we're to publicly profess our Savior. We're to have boldness. Instead of bold living for Christ, there are many who have a spirit of fear, afraid to stand for Christ openly, afraid to stand against sin, afraid of gossip and slander that will go on behind their backs because they take a stand for Christ. And this has infected the church. It's infected believers. It's infected the pulpit. There are preachers who are afraid of gossip and slander, afraid of people talking behind their backs, calling them fools. Why? Not because they've acted like fools. There are many who do that. But because they've preached the Word of God. They've been true to the Word of God. They've been true to the book. They have preached the sound doctrine of Christ. And there are those who profess Christ, who claim to be part of the church. They don't agree with what they say. And behind their backs, they will go away, will say all manner of evil speaking. Simply because the truth of God is preached. I'm not guessing at what goes on outside the doors of churches in this world. I know what goes on outside the doors of the churches of this world. I've heard these things said about many, many preachers. Why? because they preach the Word of God. I heard it this week about one individual. I listened to the sermon, couldn't fault it. It was simply preaching the truth of God, but the slander and the gossip was not God glorified. And it's grievous to think there are faithful men of God who make a good profession of faith, who obey the commandment, as Timothy is told here, who take seriously the charge given to them only for those who claim to know better, who claim to be of Christ, to slam that confession into the ground and showing intolerance to the Word of God and intolerance to the person of Christ, the work of Christ, the Word of Christ, the servants of Christ. Well, dear believer, it is important not merely for the pastor to have a good confession. It is important for us all. And part of that is how we react to the Word of God. We'll come back to that. But we are to confess the truth of God. We're to hold fast to it. The practice of our faith is not merely spoken words or words that are sung in worship, but the whole of our life is to be given over to Christ and His truth. And we're to desire that good confession of faith in our church, in our lives. We are to hold fast to it. Timothy professed a good profession. And we can think of our Savior, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. That is the spirit of Christianity. That is the history in which we find ourselves standing upon, that of a good confession publicly. We can look at the martyrs. We can look at men of God over the centuries. They have held a good profession of faith. They've said the truth. They lived for the truth. They've suffered because of that confession. And Paul's emphasis in 1 Timothy is that Timothy will have to stand against false teachers. That brings trials, and that brings. But he was to keep pressing on. He was not to face the first difficulty, turn around and give up. He's to fight the good fight of faith, verse 12 says. Doesn't say surrender the good fight of faith. Keep fighting. Keep pressing on. Dear believer, you may look at yourself, and maybe truly in the sight of God with a humble attitude, you may look at yourself and desire to go forward for Christ and to live for Him and have a good profession, but other believers around you are struggling. And this isn't your pride lifting you up and putting them down. This is just reality. You sought the Lord, you see with a humble heart that you're trying to live for Christ, but others around you are trying to bring you down. Oh, that you would be strong. Oh, that you would not give up. Oh, that you would make sure that you stand firm for Christ. In our Bible class this morning, we considered together the mortification of sin, but we considered placing ourselves in circumstances and situations where it is easy for sin to have an advantage over us. We may be susceptible to a specific sin, and so instead of avoiding the places where that sin may take place, we openly go and we openly embrace. And then that sin can raise its head and have the victory over us. And we're constantly in that fight. Oh, that the Lord would give us strength to confess a good confession, to flee sin, to put Christ first, to fight the good fight of faith. What if your public confession today, dear believer, is it a confession that exalts, a confession where men and women who know you can turn around and say, see that person there? I don't agree with what they believe. I don't agree with the Bible that they hold to. But I see the effect upon them, the effect of Christ. And that's a witness. Oh, that you, through a good profession of faith, would be a good witness to Jesus. Do you have a confession? Can you say today, well, like Timothy, I have a good profession because I know Christ. What if the profession of your heart, is it a profession that is fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the cross of Calvary? And upon the one who shed his blood and died upon the cross. Are you saved today? Are you believing in the Savior? Do you know your sins forgiven? Can you say, yes, I can have a good profession because that profession is built upon Christ. It's not built upon the sand of this world. It's not built upon my own ideas or a false religion. It is founded upon the Lamb of God who died, who gave himself for me, who rose again. Are you trusting in the Savior? Is your profession built upon the rock of Christ? Timothy's was. Paul says it is a good profession. A good profession. The only profession we can have that is good is the profession that is built upon Christ and His Word. Oh, that you would turn from sin today and look to Christ and know that good profession. That you know your sins forgiven. You would know repentance and faith in the Savior. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 5. I will never leave thee. No promises of private interpretation. Whatever God has said to any one saint, he has said to all. When he opens a well for one, it is that all may drink. When he openeth a granary door to give out food, there may be some one starving man who is the occasion of its being opened, but all hungry saints may come and feed too. Whether he gave the word to Abraham or to Moses matters not, O believer. He has given it to thee as one of the covenanted seed. There is not a high blessing too lofty for thee, nor a wide mercy too extensive for thee. Lift up now thine eyes to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, for all is thine. Climb to Pisgah's top, and view the utmost limit of the divine promise, for the land is all thine own. There is not a brook of living water, of which thou mayest not drink. If the land floweth with milk and honey, eat the honey, and drink the milk, for both are thine. Be thou bold to believe, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. In this promise God gives to his people everything. I will never leave thee. Then no attribute of God can cease to be engaged for us. Is he mighty? He will show himself strong on the behalf of them that trust him. Is he love? Then with loving kindness will he have mercy upon us. Whatever attributes may compose the character of deity, every one of them to its fullest extent shall be engaged on our side. To put everything in one, there is nothing you can want. There is nothing you can ask for. There is nothing you can need in time or in eternity. There is nothing living, nothing dying. There is nothing in this world, nothing in the next world. There is nothing now, nothing at the resurrection morning, nothing in heaven which is not contained in this text. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We come to the end of our program today. Thank you for joining with us, and we invite you to join us again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.